And you may be seated. If you would, turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, hold your place there, and then Galatians chapter 4. We are continuing our series on seven keys to reigning in life as kings. This is part 4. This series of messages can change your life, but it also can liberate the course of your life. But you can never know and walk in dominion until you realize what Christ has done for you. We've been using Romans 5:17 as our basic text, and it says, "For if by one man's offense, death reigned by one." He's talking about Adam. "Much more." I love that word. "Much more." Say it with me. "Much more. They which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness." Keep that in mind. "The gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ." Now, I want you to look at Galatians chapter 4, verse 1, because Paul is talking to the church. He said, "Now I say that the heir," that you're an heir and a joint heir with Jesus Christ, "that the heir, as long as he is a child, he differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all." In other words, you've got to grow in grace and knowledge. You've got to grow up as a Christian. You've got to mature. He says, "You're an heir and you're a joint heir with Jesus Christ, but as long as you're a child, you can never obtain what belongs to you in Jesus Christ, though you are Lord of all." See, in Genesis chapter 1, God, he said, "Let us make man in our own image after our likeness, and let them have dominion." Now, I've preached on the three types of power, and you can get that from part 3. But the Living Bible says, "Let us make a man," someone like ourselves, "to master all of life." I like that. God had just spoken the worlds into existence. He did it with words, and then he said, "Let us make a man. Let us make a woman. Let us make someone just like ourselves." And God said, "Let them master all of life." Now, that is God's dream for you. God does not want you to be under. God wants to carry you over. He said, "You're not to be the tail, you'd be the head. You're not to be the borrower, you're to be the lender. You are more than you think you are, because you can do all things through Christ." So God's dream for you is that you walk in dominion, not to be a slave, not to be a servant, not to be dominated, but his dream for you is that you master all of life. And there are seven things that you must know if you're going to walk in this dominion. I'm going to list these seven keys once again, and then in today's message, I'm going to preach on the fourth key. Now, I've already done a sermon on the first three keys. Look at this on the screen. The first key is you must know the integrity of the Word of God. Then you must know the reality of redemption. Then you must know the reality of being a new creation in Christ. And then you must know, today's lesson, you must know that you are the righteous of God in Christ Jesus. Then fifthly, you've got to know the indwelling presence of the Holy Ghost. Sixthly, you've got to know the fellowship of reality. And the last lesson will be on knowing the authority of the name of Jesus, that that name carries power in three worlds. And that name has been given to you. But this morning, my subject is seven keys to reigning in life. This is part 4. You are the righteous of God in Christ Jesus. Let us pray. Father, thank you for this beautiful day. Thank you that we have victory in Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for revelation, redemptive revelation. Thank you, Lord, for imparting to people's minds, Lord. You said, "Let this mind be in you, which was in Christ." That our minds, Lord, you have made Jesus to be unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. That we stand complete in Christ. And Lord, you said we're to grow in grace and knowledge. And Lord, we do that through prayer, through fellowship, through studying the word, through hearing the preached word. Lord, I thank you for the call to preach your word. You said, "Preach my gospel, teach my word, heal the sick." And Lord, you sent us on a mission. And Lord, you started that years ago. And now you have a church, a vibrant, triumphant church that you want to carry your gospel to the ends of this earth. Seat us today in heavenly places. And everybody said in Jesus' name, amen. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Now, it's a happy day when you realize that. It's a happy day when you realize that Jesus Christ has imparted to you the gift of righteousness. God has seen the struggle of the human race down through the ages, and they've struggled to obtain righteousness. The law could not bring righteousness. It took the blood of God's Son. See, our righteousness before God is as filthy rags, so God gives us his righteousness when we believe in Jesus Christ. Look at 2 Corinthians 5:21. It says, "For he, God the Father, has made him, Jesus the Son, to be sin for us." Why? "That we might be made the righteousness of God in him." You need to understand that you have a righteous standing before God. When God looks at you, God does not see your sins if you have confessed him. God sees the blood of Jesus, and God sees you as he sees his Son. When you were saved, Jesus imparted to you his righteousness. Jesus died that you might live. He was made sin that you might be made righteous. He took what we were so we could become what he is. He took what we had, our sins, so that we could take what he has, his righteousness. You are identified with Christ because of your believing on him as your Lord and confessing him as Lord. You identify with Christ in his redemptive work, and everything that Jesus Christ did in his redemptive work, it all belongs to you. You may not know it yet. You may not have received that revelation, and that's why we come to church. That's why we study the word, and once you see this, it will change the course of your entire life. But until you receive this revelation of who you are in Christ, you can never reign in life in Christ. You have already received the abundance of grace, and you've already received the gift of righteousness. Salvation is a gift. Righteousness is a gift. You are who God said you are, yet the devil is trying to rule and reign, and he is ruling and reigning over a lot of Christians because they do not know the authority that they have in Christ Jesus. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And yet, without this sense of righteousness, you cannot go to God with confidence because you see yourself as a sinner in the presence of a holy God. If you don't understand this, you know that they sing a song, "I'm just a sinner, saved by..." I can't stand that song. I'm not a sinner. I used to be a sinner, but I'm saved by grace. Glory to God, he took my place on the cross where he died, my sins to erase. I used to be a sinner, but I'm saved. I'm saved. I'm saved by grace. You are saved by grace. You've been made a partaker of God's divine nature, and you are who God said you are. You are the very righteous of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Somebody go on and praise him. Hallelujah. But without this sense of righteousness, you cannot go to God with confidence because you see yourself as a sinner in the presence of a holy God. And when you face the devil, you also see yourself as a sinner with no power and no authority against the wiles of the devil. But once you realize that Jesus Christ has imparted to you his righteousness, then you realize your redemptive rights in Jesus Christ. And when you know the truth, it gives you a confidence to go boldly to the throne of grace to help find grace and help in your time of need. See, this sense of righteousness gives you confidence. It gives you confidence to face the devil without being afraid. It gives you confidence to face the issues of life without being afraid. God has not given us the spirit of fear. He's given us a spirit of power, a spirit of love, and a spirit of a sound mind. God has given us his Son. He spared not his own Son. He delivered him up for us all. And it says he will also with him also freely give us all things. Somebody go and praise God for who you are in Christ. You are a new creation in Christ with power, with authority, and with dominion, and you can rule and reign and master all of life by Jesus Christ. Everything that Jesus accomplished in his redemptive work at Calvary, it has been laid to your account. You are who God said you are. I love that confession. You can do what God said you can do, and you can do it because God has no record of your past. Look at my text again, Romans 5:17. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which have received the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. I tell you, I don't know whether that excites you or not, but I tell you, it just makes me feel like I'm ready to conquer the world in Jesus' name. Glory to God. God has given his church power, authority, and dominion. And once you realize this, you will start walking in a path of righteousness and realizing who you are in Christ, a path that you've never walked in your entire life. Everything Jesus did on that cross, he did it for you. Your sins are gone. I said your sins are gone. And God is more interested in your future than he is in your past. Let me tell you what's in your future. Walls of jasper, gates of pearl, streets of pure, transparent gold. There's a banquet waiting for you in heaven. Eyes not seen, ears not heard. It's not even entered in the hearts of man, the things that God has prepared for those that love him. But God has revealed unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Thank God for heaven. But while I'm here, praise God, I intend to rule and reign in this life as a master of all life through Jesus Christ my Lord, because God paid for me. God bought me with the blood. God paid for you. God bought you, and you are who God said you are. Hallelujah. Tell your neighbor, I'm more than a conqueror through him that loved me and gave himself for me. We are kings and priests unto God, and a king is to rule and to reign in life. A king has a domain. He has a dominion. Amen. And God has given us spiritual weapons of warfare, and through Jesus Christ, we are to master all of life. When you were redeemed, the chains of darkness was broken. Every chain. She just sang about it. When you were redeemed, every chain of darkness was broken, and the Father has delivered us from Satan's dark domain. Chains are falling right now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. God is not going to deliver you. He has already delivered you, and it's up to you to take your position in Jesus Christ. I've preached about our position. I started to do that again. I said, no, they can go back and listen. You don't need to just hear this sermon one time. You don't need to be a sermonizer. You need to get your Bible out, and you need to look at what I've been preaching in the scriptures I've been using. I am giving you the Pauline revelation. Paul had the audacity to say, my gospel. He said, I didn't get this from man. I was caught up in the third heaven, and I was shown some great stuff. Some of it I can't even tell the world. It's so holy that I cannot even reveal it. He said, but I'm going to reveal what God lets me reveal. And through his epistles, that he was in prison. Do you think you're in a bad place today? Paul's in prison writing most of these. And he said, rejoice, rejoice, rejoice again, rejoice evermore. Again, I say rejoice. Can you rejoice when praise leads the way? Victory's on the way, and you've got to get a praising heart. You got to get a praising spirit. Don't let that old spirit of depression come on you. Put on the garment of praise, for the spirit of heaven is. Put off the old, put on the new, which is created in Christ Jesus under good works. Go and praise the Lord for his blessings in your life. Hallelujah. That's it. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's right. Look at Colossians 1:13. Paul said, we are to give thanks unto God. Look at this. Who hath delivered us, hath, H-A-T-H, past tense, delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. There's power in the blood. The blood carries power. The devil is a spirit. He has no blood. And when you whip out the name of Jesus and you whip out the blood, the devil begins to back up, because that name carries power. And that was not just any type of blood. That was God's blood. That was the blood of Jesus Christ. That was God's Son's blood. And we were redeemed with that blood. And that blood gives you victory, hallelujah, over sin, sickness, death, and even the grave itself, hallelujah. We are who God said we are. We can do what God says we can do, and you need to get a picture of that. You have been delivered from sin, and you are not what you used to be. And once you get born again, let me tell you something. If you try to go back to that old lifestyle, you can never live it. You might go back, but you can never live it again, because you have tasted of the Lord. You have tasted of His nature. So why don't you just give up? If you're living in sin, why don't you just give up? Songwriter said, give up and let Jesus take over. Give up and let Jesus take over. Give up and let Jesus take over, and He will make a way for you. While He make it a way, He is the way. I said, give up and let Jesus take over. Give up and let Jesus, sing it with me, take over. Give up and let Jesus take over, and He will make a way for you. Oh, yes, He will. I said, He will make a way for you. Hallelujah. He said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. There's no other way. Men try to make another way, but the Bible says there's a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof is the way of destruction. God gave His Son, and the gospel is good news that you don't have to live in chains of darkness. And that brings me right back to my subject matter. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And that means that you have a right standing with God. What does it mean? We use that big word, righteousness. Let me break it down. It means you have a right standing with God because of the blood. So many people, they're afraid of God. They don't know that God is a good God. They don't know that God is a God of love. They think that God is a God of wrath. Too many people, they've been taught that God is punishing them for their past sins. And they say, I've done this, and I've done that, and I'm so guilty, and I'm so bad, and I'm so unworthy. Well, God has made you worthy. God has qualified you. God gave His Son's blood. People think, well, how in the world could God ever forgive me? And they forget that God is rich in mercy. They forget that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. They forget that God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. God is a good God, and if you want to see what God looks like, then look at Jesus. Jesus is a picture of the Heavenly Father. Don't go by what some church doctrine says. Don't go by what the tradition says. Don't go by what religion says God is like. Go by what the Bible says God is like, because the only way you're ever going to know God is through biblical revelation. Once you see it, praise God, and you step into it, all the chains of darkness will fall off of you, and you'll begin to grow in grace and in knowledge. But you've got to realize that you are the righteousness of God. It's thrilling, my friends, when you see what God is like. I tell you, it's thrilling. I come back from combat. I told my daddy, I told people, I said, I didn't even like myself, but I found out God loved me. Oh, what a revelation when I realized God wasn't mad with me. All God wanted me to do is come to the cross and humble myself and ask God to forgive me of my sins, to wash me in the blood of Jesus Christ. And when I believed it in my heart and confessed it with my mouth, every chain of darkness, it broke off of my life. I came came out of darkness into the marvelous light. And I've been going and going and going ever since. I tell people I've got something more powerful in me than an ever-ready battery. I've got the Holy Ghost. He quickens my body. He gives me revelation. Hallelujah. He's a great God. He'll put joy unspeakable that's full of glory in your heart. Go on and praise him for who you are in Christ Jesus our Lord. Hallelujah. I tell you, religion will kill you, but God will save you. You don't need religion. You need a relationship with the Most High God. His Son's name is Jesus Christ, and he came to bear our sins and give us life and the gift of righteousness. Hallelujah. Jesus is a mighty deliverer, and he has imparted to you the gift of righteousness, revealing the love of the Father. It was Martin Luther who received the revelation that the just shall live by faith. He saw that you do not earn your righteousness by what you do. You are given righteousness from God himself. Martin Luther discovered this in the Pauline epistles. Look at Romans 1:16. Paul said, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, but it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth." Look at verse 17. "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." And when Martin Luther nailed those 95 theses on the church door, it shook the world by telling them, you are saved not by works, but you are saved by the grace of God. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You can't do enough good works. I don't care if you stay and pray and fast and give and work in the church and live the best you can. You cannot make yourself righteous. The only thing that will ever make you the righteous of God is the blood of Jesus Christ. And God has given you that as a gift. So stop trying to save yourself. Stop trying to join some church to save yourself. The only thing you can join yourself to that will save you is to join yourself to Jesus Christ. Somebody go on and praise him. Hallelujah. And you don't have to live a perfect life either, because God gives you his perfection. Jesus is our sanctification. Amen. You are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. And if you ever think you've made it, you're in for big trouble, because you're headed for a fall. The only thing that keeps us is the power of God, the word of God, the love of God, and the righteousness that we have in Jesus Christ. And it is a gift from God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, but it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. The gospel is the power of God. Why is it the power of God? For therein, in the gospel, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed. It's called the power of God because the gospel shows you how to get right with God. It's so the inner man can receive a gift from God, the righteousness of God. Now, once you have accepted Jesus, there are fruits of righteousness. So let's look at a few of those fruits. Now, here are the fruits. Look at Romans 5:1. Therefore, being justified by faith, being made just as if you had never sinned, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Peace is a result of knowing who you are in God, the very righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You know, the most miserable person in the world is the person who is trying to work themselves into heaven. He's going here. He's going there. He's doing this. He's doing that. You know, the modern church is just a bunch of busy, busy people, as busy as a termite on a yo-yo. Amen. One man said on Monday night they have baseball. On Tuesday night they have basketball. Thursday night they have football. And on Friday night they just have a ball. Amen. And they are busy, busy, busy with all types of religious activity, trying to do this and trying to do that, eating here and eating there, planning this and planning that. That'll wear you out. Well, you can do all that if you want to, but you can never work your way into heaven. I don't care how much you do in the church. I want people to get in the church. I want them to work. I believe in working. Amen. I think we ought to work because of what God has done for us. But you can never work your way into heaven. The only way you will ever get into heaven is through Jesus Christ. We live in a pluralistic world, multicultural, and people are trying to tell us there are many ways to God. I'm going to tell you something. Buddha's still in the grave. He's not the way. Confucius is still in the grave. He's not the way. Joseph Smith, he's still in the grave. He's not the way. And no Catholic priest is the way either. Hallelujah. Mary's not the way. Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, he is the way. He is the only way. Aren't you glad you know him? Aren't you glad that nail-scarred hand reached down and touched you one day and you came out of darkness and you know that you know and you're sure that you're sure that your name is in the Lamb's Book of Life. Heaven, happy home above. Heaven, land of peace and love. Oh, it makes me feel like traveling on. Heaven eternal. Heaven supernal. Oh, I'm so glad that it's real and I've got my ticket. Hallelujah. His name is Jesus. He's the way, and I found the way, and I'm going to serve him. Hallelujah. When I step out of this clay mortal body of mine, I'm going to step over into the glory world. Hallelujah. Paul said, the time of my departure is at hand. He didn't say I'm going to die. He said, I'm departing to go to a far better place. Hallelujah. 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 Glory. You get all of this in heaven too. To live a life of dominion. Live a life where you rule and reign in life and master all of life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Hallelujh. Now once you have accepted Jesus, there are fruits. Romans 5 and 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Now, once you accept Jesus, you need to hear this over and over. You are the righteousness of God. He, Jesus, is your righteousness. He is the righteousness of your inner man. Your outer man may not know what has happened yet. You got to work on the outer man. But the first thing that you get when you get saved is you have peace with God. It's wonderful in a world of turmoil to have peace with God. Now, you might make some mistakes, and the devil may beat on you, and he may mix you up a little bit, but I just come right back to the Word. If any man sin, he has an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So if I just make a confession, I fail God, I admit it, I can't save myself anyway. I'm looking unto Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of my faith. When you do that, that's where you're surrendering to God and you're saying, the blood of Jesus is sufficient. I don't have to add anything to it. I can't add anything. God spared not his son. God gave him for us all. And all you have to do is accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. And when you do, God gives you the gift of righteousness. What else has God given to you? Not only that you have peace, but you have access to God, and now you can come boldly to the throne of grace. Look at Romans 5 and 2. Paul said, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. You have access to God. You don't have to go to someone else to get access to God. I love my Catholic brothers and sisters, but you don't have to go to a priest to have access to God. You don't have to go through anybody. Look at 1 Timothy 2 and 5. 1 Timothy 2 and 5. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man. That is the man, Christ Jesus. Jesus Christ, forever For all of eternity, he will be a man. When you get to heaven, you're going to see a man. Jesus Christ seated at the right hand of his majesty on high. You'll see nail prints in his hands. You'll see nail prints through his feet. You'll see a gaping hole on his side. You'll see his brow where they crammed a crown of thorns down on his head, and the blood ran out. The blood ran out of his body, and the blood declared your victory. But Jesus Christ, he chose to become a man. He left his throne in glory. He humbled himself. He came to earth's manger. The Word was made flesh, dwelt among us. We beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He went to an old rugged cross, and he shed his blood. And when that blood hit the ground, it echoed up into the heavens, said, "Lift up your head, O you gates, be you lift up your everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in." Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty in battle. "Lift up your head, O you gates, and be you lift up your everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in." Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty in battle. His name is Jesus. He is the King of glory. And when you get to heaven, you're going to see a man, praise God, and forever he will be a man. You have access to God because a man, the God man Jesus Christ, came, shed his blood, and identified himself with you and me, so forever and eternity we could be identified with him in his glory, in his majesty, in his might, and in his dominion. But while we're here, we're to rule and reign and to have dominion in all of life and to master it. Go on and praise God for his blessing. Hallelujah. You have access to God, and when you know that you have access to God, you can triumph in your troubles. If you know who you are in Christ, then the devil cannot accuse you, but all he can do is say what he says. He can accuse you. He is the accuser of the brethren. He can accuse you, but you can stand with God's help, and you can triumph in all your troubles. Because you're not who the devil says you are. He's a liar. He's the father of lies. And God is the way, the truth, and the life. Hallelujah. He's the God of all mercy. Amen. I'd rather believe God than believe the lies of the devil. Hallelujah. So you have peace with God. You have access to God. And then you have hope. And then you have God's love. And then you have the Holy Ghost. Look at Romans 5:5. "And hope make it not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us." Hallelujah. You have God's goodness, God's mercy, God's righteousness, God's seal of approval stamped upon you, saying, "This is my child, devil. Thus far shall you go and no further." You can't cross the bloodline. And when you realize who you are in Christ Jesus, you can stand up and tell the devil, "Ghost." Submit yourself to God. Draw nigh to God. He'll draw nigh to you. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. He'll run in holy terror because of the blood of Jesus and because of the name of Jesus and because of who you are in Christ Jesus our Lord. Go on and praise him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God sees you like he sees Jesus, because you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. This is Paul's gospel I'm preaching. Hallelujah. Now look at this. Romans 10:1. Paul said, "Brethren," he's talking to the Jewish nation, "brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." Paul said, the cry of my heart is for other people to be saved. Is that the cry of your heart for your family? Is that the cry of your heart for your children, your grandchildren, for your neighbors? Is that the cry of your heart, that others might be saved? Our greatest desire should be for sinners, and that they might get saved. That's why we have a church here. We want sinners saved. That's why we have Facebook. That's why we do live stream. That's why we have all the programs here at the church. It's because we want to see people saved. We want to see them in heaven, and we want to see them redeemed by the blood. We want to see them living a life of victory. We want to see them reigning in life as kings and priests unto God. We are a loving, growing church, bringing hurting families to a healing Jesus. And it's revelational knowledge that will help you to obtain everything that Jesus paid for at Calvary. Church, we ought to have a burden for the lost. And we ought to reach out to get people saved. And we're doing that. We're doing it every way I can. We are. I know many of you, you're going out witnessing, rest home, prisons, all kind of stuff going on your jobs, just telling people about Jesus, amen. But we should have that burden for the lost. And not just to get them to join our church, we need to get people to join Jesus. I remember when I was a layman, and I wasn't pastoring a church, and I'd get people saved one by one by one by one. And I'd work on them and work on them and work on them, and they'd get saved. And I, come on, go with me to church. Oh, I'm going back to Mother's church. I'm going to the church I was raised up in. And that's what they do. And I said, God, I just don't understand it. I work and I work and I work, and I'm getting them saved. God said, you get them saved. You do what I sent you to do, and I'll do what I do. I'll get them in the right church. Hallelujah. So don't try to force people into your mold. Amen. We're a loving, growing church, but there are a lot of other good churches. So don't try to get them to join the church. Try to get them to join Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Paul said, my heart's desire for Israel is that they might be saved. Look at Romans 10 and 2. Paul said, for I bear record of them that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. Paul said, they have a zeal. They have a zeal for God. The whole nation does. They think they're the seed of Abraham, but they rejected Jesus. They have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. Oh, they get up. And they go and they say their prayers. They work hard in the church. They do this and they do that. They work hard in their religion. They're there. They're faithful. They're working. Paul said, I bear them record that they have a zeal of God. But zeal won't save you, my friend. Paul said, they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness. Millions of people today, they are living tormented lives simply because they are ignorant of God's righteousness. And yet, God's righteousness is a gift to all who will believe. Look at Romans 10 and 3. Paul said, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness are going about to establish their own righteousness, not having submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Then he goes on and said, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. They said, oh, we're Jews. We're God's chosen one. He said, no, that law is not going to save you. There's not a law that can save anybody. You have a zeal for God, but you're ignorant. You're trying to establish your own righteousness, but the only way that you can get righteous is to accept God's gift of righteousness. Hallelujah. You see, when you don't know about God's righteousness, you will try to establish your own righteousness. And they try to establish their own righteousness because they have not submitted themselves to God's righteousness, which is faith in the blood of Jesus Christ. You know, Jesus is our Jehovah Tsidkenu. That means that he is the Lord, our righteousness. That Jehovah Tsidkenu is one of the eight compound redemptive names that are found in the Old Testament. And on the cross, he who knew no sin was made sin with our sin, so we could be made the righteousness of God in him. Jesus is our righteousness. He is truly our Jehovah Tsidkenu, and he came to bear our sins. He came and became like us so that we might become like him. He came to take our sins so he could give us his gift of righteousness. Now, I want you to notice the closing of this passage in Romans chapter 10. You'll have to look this one up. Romans 10 and 8. Romans 10 and 8. The Bible says, the word is nigh thee, even in thy heart and in thy mouth. That is the word of faith which we preach. Faith must be in your heart, and you've got to put faith in your mouth. You've got to confess some things to God. Jesus is the high priest of our confession. Not only... It says, King James says, our profession. That means that we are to confess our sins. But secondly, it means that we are to confess who we are in Christ. Revelational knowledge. You need to realize who you are and begin to say it. You need to hear yourself say it. You don't just need to hear the preacher say it. You need to say it. You need to establish yourself, hallelujah, in the righteousness that God has provided. Now look at this. The word is nigh thee, even in thy heart and in thy mouth. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and shalt believe in thy heart, God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart, the spirit man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. The very moment that you believed in Jesus Christ and confessed him as your Lord, God saved you, and God gave you his gift of righteousness. You are the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. And that's what redemptive revelation is all about. When you are established in righteousness, you know that no weapon formed against you can ever prosper. When you are established in righteousness, it will produce mountain-moving faith in your heart. When you are established in righteousness, you know that God will always cause you to triumph, no matter what you're going through. When you're established in righteousness, you can pray with a confidence and pray for your children that God will bring them out of darkness into the light. And you have power, authority, and dominion. Don't let the devil rule there. Counsel his assignment. You are established in righteousness. And when you're established in righteousness, praise God, you will understand redemptive revelation. If you're not established in righteousness, you will open the door to Satan's oppression. And if you allow him to, he will cheat you out of your inheritance. I said it, you open the door if you're not established in righteousness. If you don't have revelation, you'll open the door to the devil, and he will come, and he will cheat you out of your inheritance because you are the righteousness of God. Paul said that the heir, as long as he is a child, remember, Galatians 4:1, that as long as he is a child, he differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all. God says you're Lord of all. But if you don't have redemptive revelation, you're nothing more than a child. You may not realize all that belongs to you, but Jesus has redeemed you, and Jesus has made you more than a conqueror. You have his blood, you have his word, you have his name, you have his nature, you have his spirit, you have his life, you have his righteousness, you have his power, you have his authority, and you are to rule and reign in life by one Jesus Christ. Somebody go on and praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's right. Hallelujah. Get excited about it. Hallelujah. 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 The problems of life are real, and we don't need to pretend that the problems in life don't exist, but God's word is true, and your faith can move mountains. Why? Because you are established in righteousness. One last verse, and I'm closing. Look at 1 Corinthians 1:30. Look at this. But of him, of God, are ye in Christ Jesus. Look at this. Who God has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Do you see it? Because we are in Christ, we are established in righteousness by God the Father. And because of that one revelation there, victory, 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 victory belongs to you. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Let us stand.
And I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. And I'm accepted. You were condemned. And I'm alive and well.
I'm alive and well, Lord.
Spirit is within me.
Spirit
because died and rose,
took my sin, imparted and imputed to me righteousness.
Amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, would die for me?
Amazing love,
amazing love. my joy to honor you in all I do. I honor you.
Let's come and honor him at the altar.